This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
I put together a list of 7 things I wish I knew earlier about renting properties, and you can download your free copy. Just go to my website, freelandlordgift.com. Well, today on the show for our very first interview, I'm really excited about having this guest on because this guy is not a millionaire. He's had zero training in real estate. He's never bought any of those guru training classes, as far as I know, right? You've never thousands of dollars to get any kinds of training. He's just a regular guy that just made a decision that he was going to buy a house and he went with it. And, you know, I think talking to Jack today is going to be inspiring to people just to see that a regular guy can have a little side business where you have a rental property and you make some extra money every month. And at the same time, you build some long-term wealth. So Jack, why don't you just tell us a little bit about you and how you got into real estate?
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show.
Sure.
We bought our first house, right after we got married. It was a little townhouse. And we quickly grew out of it, but we were fortunate enough to buy it right in the middle of the housing boom. So we were able to take the money that we made on that property, and we rolled that into our next home. We were able to put 20% down.
And so when you bought the first house, did you have a down payment or?
We had a very modest down payment. Okay. I think we put 2% down.
So, I mean, so that goes to show for anyone that says you need a lot of money to get into real estate, you don't. Like, you know, you bought a modest little house and you had a modest little down payment and you live there for a couple of years and then the property appreciates.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you have a 20% down payment for the next house or?
20% down.
A 20% down payment. Yep. So that just shows like the power of, you know, a lot of that is luck. The market's going up.
Right.
But still, it can happen. So this is a couple of years later. You've lived in the first house for, was it like 2 years?
For a little less than 2 years.
A little less than 2 years. So then you...
We rolled the money into the new house. Right. And so we lived there for several years. And then we got into another situation where we just outgrew the house. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've always been interested in being a landlord and investing in real estate. So, and we're kind of at a weird place in the market as well where... property values had decreased significantly.
Okay. So you had the peak and then
the drop
Then for the second property, the values are going down. So like, so you would have probably lost money if you had sold.
Right. We were underwater at the time that we needed to move.
Okay.
So we would have had to come out of pocket with a significant amount of cash. So we just weren't in the position to do that. But really, like I also wanted to get into real estate investing anyway. So, we were fortunate enough with the down payment that we had made that we were right around, our mortgage was right around the spot where I felt like we could rent it for. And so that's what we did.
So you rented out the house and then you bought a new house.
Exactly. And so it was a challenge. It was right around the time where banks were changing their underwriting, criteria. And so it was actually a difficult process. We had to show that we had someone lined up for the rental property, and there are some other underwriting requirements as well.
So you had to have the house rented out before you closed on the new house?
We did have, I'm trying to think if that was a requirement. I think it was, I don't think I needed to prove it. I think I just needed to demonstrate that that our income was enough to be able to cover both.
Okay, so you had to cover both mortgages in case you couldn't rent it out. They wanted to say, are you going to default on this loan 2 months after you bought the house?
Right. So, and I think we did end up showing them the signed agreement. I think we had to show them, that we had enough cash reserves to cover it. And I think to cover both our mortgage and their mortgage.
So you mentioned earlier that you had always been interested in owning rental properties.
Right.
When you made the move from the first house to the second house, at that point, did you ever consider renting out your first house? Or did you, it appreciated so much that you just said, we got to cash out? And
no, I remember having that debate with myself at the time, because I felt like it was a good investment. I felt like, the property had appreciated in a very short time, maybe 50% in value.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible, isn't
right,
it?
Yeah. It's funny to look back on.
Yeah. In not even 2 years.
Not even 2 years.
What a magic. What year was this?
This was in 2003, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But we just, you know, it was a lot of money, and we just felt like it was in our best interest to take that profit and roll it into a new place. So that, you know, it would just be a little more affordable for us.
And you had young kids at this time too. Yeah. So you're maybe a little bit more conservative than someone without kids. I mean, you're just trying to do the right thing, I guess. Right.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So then what was different when you outgrew the second house? Like what was different that said like now, but was it just that not wanting to lock in that loss and lose the money? Is that why?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, we were a little bit forced into the decision because, you know, and I shouldn't say forced. I mean, we could have stayed in the house, but we were ready to move on, but we just didn't want to come out of pocket to get rid of the house. And if we had done that, we wouldn't have been able to take any money and put it into the new house.
Right. Okay.
And so like, you know, and like I said, I really wanted to be a landlord, and I liked the idea of, you know, someone else paying down the principal of a house and, you know, having that wealth come to us.
Right. Sure.
So we decided to give it a shot.
So are you happy you did it?
Yeah. You know, we're 4 years into it, a little over 4 years. There's been times where it's been frustrating. But we've been very fortunate that we found tenants fairly easily. They've always paid on time. We've had some issues every now and then with things breaking at the house or, you know, some other kind of drama. But in general, we've got some good tenants in there right now. So we're really happy.
How did you find your tenants?
We went on Craigslist, actually.
Okay.
So we placed some ads a couple months before we knew we wanted to rent it. And we had found more than enough people who were interested.
Awesome.
Both times,
yeah. Awesome. So how long did you have it on Craigslist before you found the right tenant?
You know, within, I would say, 2 days, we had probably six or seven different people who were
incredible.
Interested.
Yeah. Wow. So what did your ad say? Did you just have some pictures and a description of the house? Or?
Yeah. I took some nice pictures of the house. Actually, I used the pictures that were from the MLS listing that our realtor had when we bought it, or their realtor had. So I used those pictures and just came up with a description of the property and the townhouse and some of the community features and kind of where the house sat in the neighborhood, et cetera. And that was, you know, that seemed to work okay.
So, all right. So then you get people coming to the house, people want to look at it. How did you screen your tenants?
So we had people who were interested fill out an application. What we did at the end was we took we just kind of went through each of the applications and, you know, verified references and things of that nature for the candidates that we felt like would be good, good tenants. Mm-hmm. And then once we kind of narrowed that down, then we did a credit check on the first person on the list.
Okay. So did you get all the applications all at the same time or?
Yeah. So we would set up some time to show the property. We had people fill out the application when they got there. We gave them the chance, obviously, to not fill it out if they weren't interested.
Right.
But a lot of times people got there, they saw the house, they said, we're interested, what do we do next? And then I would hand them the application and say, fill this out, get it back to me, and then we'll review the applicants and make our decision.
And did you charge an application fee?
No, we didn't do that. Okay. You know, I just kind of view that as a cost of doing business. I don't really see a need to do that.
Okay. And were you pulling credit too?
Yeah, we didn't pull credit until we actually made a decision or we narrowed down the field to, you know, the top candidate.
And how did you pull the credit?
We worked through actually a friend of ours who was a mortgage broker, and he had a service that we could use. So he ended up charging us like whatever he paid. I think it was 20 or 30 bucks. But we looked around, and there was a lot of good reputable websites that would do landlord credit checks for their tenants.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. And if anybody wants to see some of those websites, we'll put a couple on our show notes page. You can find that at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode2. So we'll have a bunch of resources there that you can check out. So your friend was able to just pull it for you and
he provided the report. You know, the people gave their employment history, and they, you know, they were pretty upfront about their credit history as well. So there weren't really any surprises there.
All right. So let's talk numbers. So right now with your rental property, like, are you making a profit? Are you profitable every month, or?
We are, without considering any kind of repairs or anything like that, we're making a very modest profit. Yeah. So in other words, the amount of the mortgage and, you know, principal and interest and taxes and all that, plus the HOA fee, mm-hmm. which we have, is slightly less than what we're charging.
Okay,
for that.
Well, that's great. You're making right. some cash flow, and then at the same time, you're paying down your mortgage right. at the same time. So now, are there any special terms that you put in the lease or anything that maybe new landlords should watch out for?
Yeah, you know, I'd recommend having a firm policy on pets either way, just making sure that, you know, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I think it's kind of what your tolerance level is in having animals there.
Do you guys allow pets in
we
your
do.
Property?
Yeah, okay. We do. We charge a pet deposit, and there's some extra language that we would include in the contract just to say, you know, hey, you have to de-tick or de-flee the property as part of your clean out process. And we charge an extra security deposit. So that was a big thing that I'd recommend that you kind of you be upfront with people and tell them what the deal is.
Do you charge a pet rent too, like on top of the rent, or
we don't right now? The current tenant's been in there for several years, and they just actually purchased just got a dog here the last couple months, and they've been a good customer, and we're happy with them. So I didn't want to want to charge them anything extra. I think if I had a choice between somebody that didn't have a pet and somebody that did, I would probably charge a premium for the pet, assuming that the applicants were exactly the same.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that right
but
now.
But you're lucky that you found out that they were getting a pet. Yeah, a lot of times the tenants will just bring a pet in.
Right.
So, like, how did you find out? Did they tell you we're getting a dog? Or or is it a dog?
It's a dog, okay. Yeah. You know, I can't remember how we found out.
So do you stay on top of the property in terms of, like, doing inspections, talking to the tenants, like how do you keep up with that?
Yeah, so luckily the property is in the same neighborhood that we live in now, so we can drive by there when we want, just kind of keep an eye on things, and we certainly still know
people
on the block. So we'll go over there maybe like once a year and just check up on things, unless there's like a repairman coming or something like that, and then we'll just do a quick sweep. But we have to coordinate all that with them. So we'll, you know, if we have someone coming over to take a look at something, we'll give them, you know, good lead time so they know we're coming, et cetera.
Okay.
And if we plan on looking around the house, we'll say, hey, you know, we got the AC guy coming, and we're going to just take a quick inspection of the property while we're there.
So do you plan on adding to, your portfolio? Do you plan on buying more rental properties in the future?
You know, I'd like to. You know, I think the thing that I've learned is that it's all about the buy. Mm-hmm. So if I can find a good deal out there where the numbers work, I'd certainly be interested.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now it's time for my favorite part of the show. Are you ready for this? This is the lightning round.
Okay.
You
ready? Yeah.
All right. Let's.
Well, so what's the deal with the lightning?
All right.
Round?
So we're gonna give you five questions in 60 seconds.
Okay.
So all right. So you're fired up. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's do it.
Now the Rental Income Podcast Lightning Round: five rapid fire questions and answers in 60 seconds.
All right. The first question is: what's your favorite real estate book?
Probably Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Good choice. Okay. The number one fear that I hear from people all the time is that they don't want to own a rental property because they don't want to get a call at 3 a.m. that the toilet's clogged. As a landlord, have you ever gotten this call?
Not at 3 a.m., no.
Okay. If you had a property that was sitting vacant for 6 months, you had a potential renter apply that had horrible credit, a spotty work history, and a spotty rental history, would you take a chance and rent to them, or just let the property sit?
I'd probably let the property sit or reduce my rent to attract more renters.
Okay. All right. Number four, if you could give one piece of advice to a new landlord, what would it be?
Have good contracts in place.
That's good.
So good. You know, there's a lot of good templates out there and websites that'll give you contracts for rentals.
As a bonus question, how did you? Oh, we're out of time.
Man.
We're out of time.
No bonus question.
We'll give you a bonus couple of seconds.
Okay.
How did you? What do you use for your contracts right now?
I think we use Nolo.
Nolo.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's what we use.
And we'll put a link to that in the show notes page too. rentalincomepodcast.com/episode2. All right. And the fifth question. Would you rent a property to your best friend?
Probably not.
Okay. Would you rent to any friends?
Probably not.
Okay. Yeah. Just too much bad stuff that could happen. Well,
right.
Jack, thank you for coming on the show. It's been a great talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Love you sharing your information. And again, I've mentioned before, if you want to see notes for anything we talked about, it's all on the website, rentalincomepodcast.com/episode2. And just a quick reminder, if you haven't yet grabbed a copy of my my gift for listeners of the show, you can get a list of the 7 things I wish I knew earlier about renting properties. Your free copy is on my website at freelandlordgift.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.